I want to refer members to section 275.2, that the motion to withdraw is very similar to a request. It is not subject to debate, amendments, or any other subsidiary motions. And not to disrupt the flow that we had, because I could see it would end, and I didn't want to shoot from the hip, but there's your reference, please. Unfinished business. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to bring up reconsideration of committee substitute for House Bill number 279, Finance. Excuse me, 297, Finance.
Okay. House Bill 297, motion to bring it up for reconsideration. The bill is before us in third reading and under debate. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Chief Clerk has an amendment on her desk that was offered by Representative Wallace and myself.
The proper motion, of course, would move back to second reading for the purposes of an amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent. We return to second reading for the purposes of a specific amendment.
Okay. Would the clerk please make reference to that amendment?
It's the one that says new amendment number 3 by Barnes and Wallace to page 4. And it has been placed on each member's desk.
Okay. Very brief latitude on it. I think we've had this and most people understand. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 297, Finance Amendment, be returned to second reading for the purposes of a specific amendment? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk tally the board?
38 yeas, no nays.
The bill is before us in second reading. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? I have objections. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I stated my concerns over the language that was in the bill when we had it before us on Monday. I have met with the people that are concerned with this, including the prime sponsor of the bill, and they now do not have problems, it's my understanding, with the language that we're inserting and deleting.
Any further debate on amendment number 3? Representative Davis.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I have some basic questions here. On the underlying section, it's to a nonprofit community organization or a village or tribal council, and this is deleting those references and inserting governing body. And there is certainly cases where we have villages that aren't necessarily a governing body, they just happen to be a village. And I think we're deleting those people from notice provisions, which personally I have objection to, and I think that those people should, even though they may not be a governing body, should be notified.
We'll hit Representative Gall and then we'll come back.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I tend to agree with the previous speaker, and at the same time, I don't think that what he's saying is intended to do any damage to the intent of the amendment. Could we have just a very brief at ease, see if we can work that out?
Will the House stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Okay, before they at ease, we had amendment number 3 before us. And Representative Barnes, you were seeking the floor on that amendment? You don't have to. Okay. Ready for the question? The question is, shall amendment number 3 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Representative Navarre. Would the clerk had opened the roll for Representative Navarre? Does any other member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
32 yeas, 2 nays.
Amendment number 3 has been adopted. Bill is before us in third reading and under debate. Representative Rieger.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the Bill be returned to second reading for a specific amendment, that being amendment number 4?
Yes, it's being duplicated.
The amendment is relatively lengthy. I think we'll have an at ease here while that is distributed. Before the at ease, we had the bill before us in third reading and under debate. Oh, that's right. We have a motion to move back to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment. That amendment should now be on everybody's desk. Very briefly, Representative Rieger, do you want to explain what you're doing?
Sure. Mr. Speaker, this is in response to, I'm sure not everyone has the minutes of the Finance Committee, but if I can just read two sentences in there. Representative Rieger asked if an action by the Department of Natural Resources could be overturned if notice was not given. Richard Lefevre, Director, Land and Water Management, Department of Natural Resources, responded, "There is no specified penalty for failure to notify, although the administration should comply with existing notification laws. Absent a specific provision, Mr. Lefevre felt it would be subject to the court determining what an appropriate remedy would be." Mr. Speaker, I think that that's fair, that it should be subject to the courts to determine what an appropriate remedy would be. But in the case of land actions, which can be fairly, you know, can get tied up in title disputes and whatever else, the one thing which I think we should give some direction to the courts in is that the failure to notify in the parts of the bill that we're adding, doesn't have anything to do with the other parts, should not be a sufficient basis to overturn a DNR action, and this is to clarify that.
Okay, if the body wants to hear more, you know how to vote on relation to the motion to move back to second reading. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 297, Finance Amendment, be returned to second reading for the purposes of a specific amendment? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk tally the board?
28 yeas, 9 nays.
The bill is before us in second reading. Representative Rieger.
Mr. Speaker, I move amendment number 4. Ask unanimous consent.
Hearing objection. Representative Rieger.
Once again, Mr. Speaker, real briefly, I support notification to these groups that are included in this bill by DNR. I think it's a good step. All this amendment tries to do is to give some direction as to what the penalties should be if they fail, and exclude what I think might be a fairly severe penalty for what might, in a new area of law, be an honest mistake on the part of the agency.
Representative Gull.
Very much, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the support for notification by the maker of the amendment. But I think the response that was given in committee that was quoted by the mover of the amendment was appropriate, that if the DNR does not advise a community of some action which it plans to take and a challenge results because the community feels it's been damaged and hasn't been notified, it is appropriate for the courts to make that decision. And by adding this language, it sends a message to DNR that, hey, let them know about it if you want to, but if you don't want to, no harm done. It won't invalidate what you're doing. And my view is that the Department of Natural Resources is here to respond to the people, not to inflict ideas on the people. And this simply says, tell them what you're going to do before you do it. To indicate that there is no sanction if they don't is to virtually eliminate the entire bill. Whereas, under the bill as written, and as the mover of the amendment indicated, a challenge has to be brought forward. It has to be shown to be substantial, has to be shown to be meaningful and damaging to the community involved, and under those circumstances, they could seek some redress. I don't see any reason why we should prejudice it to the point where the Department of Natural Resources can act with without putting its desires before the people first. Thank you.
Any further debate? Representative Rieger.
Just 2 points, Mr. Speaker. I wouldn't want to characterize this as meaning there would be no penalty or no redress in the courts for failure to act. And that certainly is not what's stated in this amendment. The second thing is, recall that in the bill, the notification requirement is to any nonprofit organization which puts in a request. How many nonprofit organizations have we listed in the debate today on the various bills? Agencies in support or against various pieces of legislation? There are lots of nonprofit organizations, and I support notifying them. But let's not tie up our land management to the point that we have to walk this line so carefully that any mistake in what could become a very complex notification process will invalidate land actions.
Any further debate?
Question.
Ready for the question. The question is, shall amendment number 4 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally it? Representative Schultz, the board is open for you. Does any other member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
21 yeas, 17 nays.
Amendment number 4 has been adopted. The bill is back before us in third reading. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 297, finance amended, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Representative Boucher, the clerk has opened the roll for you. Does any other member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
38 yeas, no nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 297, finance amended, has passed the House on reconsideration. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Two items. First, there are a number of requests for excused absence. I move and ask unanimous consent that the following members be excused from the call of the House as indicated. Representative Hanley from 5 p.m. Friday, March 18, till playing time Sunday, March 20. Again, Representative Hanley from 5 p.m. Thursday, March 31, till playing time Tuesday, April 5. Representative Ellis from after session Thursday, March 17, until playing time Monday, March 21. A change for Representative Hoffman from 4:30, the new time is from 4:30, Wednesday, March 16, until playing time Monday, March 21. Several for Representative Davidson, all day Thursday, March 17, until playing time Sunday, March 20. And again for Representative Davidson, all day Thursday, April 7, until playing time Sunday, April 10. Several for Representative Frank, from 9 p.m. Friday, March 11, until playing time Tuesday, March 15. Again for Representative Frank, from 9 p.m. Thursday, March 24, until playing time Sunday, March 27. Again for Representative Frank, from 9 p.m. Wednesday, March 30, until playing time Tuesday, April 5. For Representative Brown, from 5 p.m. Thursday, April 7, until playing time Monday, April 11. And for myself, from 5 p.m. Thursday, April 7, until playing time Monday, April 11. Move and ask unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the members that have been listed off by the Majority Leader are excused from the call of the House. Further unfinished business?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At this time, I would like to bring up my reconsideration of my vote on the Finance Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 47.
Reconsideration of House Joint Resolution 47. Okay, the bill is before us in third reading and under debate. Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 47 finance pass the House? Representative Rieger.
Mr. Speaker, did the clerk read the title of the bill?
Under reconsideration, the bill needs to have three readings. It's already had its third reading. Sometimes when you're buying time, you do it, and sometimes you don't. But this bill has had three readings, and this would give it its fourth reading if we did that. If that's your desire, that'd be fine. But when you have a limbo file and things that are full at the end, it doesn't make much sense. So bear with me. Okay. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 47 Finance pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk tally the board?
38 yeas, no nays.
Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 47 Finance has passed the House on reconsideration. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under unfinished business, yesterday I made a motion that my name be taken from House Bill 297. Today, I would like to move and ask unanimous consent that my name remain on CS for House Bill number 297, Finance, amended House.
Okay, are there any, I guess the green slips will serve, but you certainly have publicly notified your support for that bill. Representative Cato?
Under unfinished business.
That's correct.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On February 19th, the House Transportation Committee held a public hearing on the House Bill 305, an act relating to licensing of school bus drivers and providing for an effective date. The bill passed out of committee unanimously. Senate Bill 375, which is also an act relating to licensing school bus drivers and providing for an effective date, was referred to the Transportation Committee on March 7th. I would respectfully request the transportation referral to SB 375 be waived and ask unanimous consent. SB 375 has an additional committee referral, which is Hess. Thank you, sir.
Are there any objections? Representative Martin.
Yes, only a request of information. I understand that you have the Senate bill, and the State Affair has the House bill. So isn't it somehow everyone want to get those together in transportation?
Representative Ulmer.
Thank you very much. Actually, where we would like to get them together is in the in Hess, and because both bills go eventually to Hess. So Representative Cato wishes to waive her Senate bill to Hess, and I wish to waive my House bill to Hess. And I was going to ask permission of the body to do so, House Bill 397, so that both bills could be considered in one committee.
Okay, let's take one at a time. Are there any objections to what Representative Cato is attempting to do as chairman of transportation, move the bill into Hess? Representative Martin.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Only in the sense that I thought that the most responsible committee for that bus driving would be transportation, that the Hess committee is a minor part of the importance of transportation of our school children.
Representative Cato.
Mr. Speaker, probably one thing I forgot to mention was that the House Transportation Bill 305 is an identical bill to the Senate Bill 375. We've already heard the House bill. It passed out unanimously. It's the Senate bill we wish to waive onto Hess.
Okay. Are there objections? Hearing no objections, the bill is waived to next committee of referral, Hess. Representative Ulmer.
Thank you very much. I would ask permission of the body to allow me to waive House Bill 397, licensing for school bus drivers, which has already been considered by the House Transportation Committee, and to move it on to its next committee of referral, which is Hess.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, that bill will be waived to the next committee of referral, Hess. Any further unfinished business? Representative Davis.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 437.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on House Bill 437. Representative Gull.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. A week or so ago, I was excused from the call of the House for some dates in March, but I will be present in the chamber, and I'd like to place on the record that I should not be excused during those dates.
Okay. Any further unfinished business? Make sure you check with the majority leader so we get our calendar straight. Yeah. Any further unfinished business? Announcements of standing committees or special committees? Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to announce that the House Special Committee on Foreign and Domestic Trade
We'll meet unofficially tomorrow at 12:45 to 1:30 in room 124. We'll be meeting and speaking with Mr. Hayashi of the OIT office in Tokyo and his counterpart, Mr. Yang, in Seoul, Korea. This will be an opportunity to find out about Alaska's trade activities across the Pacific, and anyone is welcome. Representative Sund.
Speaker, just to announce a couple of bills in Judiciary. House Bill 323, Child Testimony by Closed Circuit TV, is coming out of subcommittee and will be up tomorrow. House Bill 25, Affirmative Action, will come up on Friday. And House Bill 355, which is damages for death of a minor, which is scheduled for tomorrow, is going to come off the calendar pending receipt of a similar Senate bill, which is now in Hess. We'll wait till that Senate bill gets to Judiciary. And House Bill 438 on putting statutory wills will not be heard on Friday. They're still working on that.
Representative Donnelly.
Mr. Speaker, we're still working on workers' compensation legislation in Labor and Commerce. So Thursday, we're going to try to deal with the first three matters on the calendar and then go to workers' compensation. I expect that'll be around 2 o'clock. It may be as late as 2:30, though, but I wouldn't want anybody to miss if we start a little bit earlier than on the calendar now.
Representative Porchot.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There'll be a House Finance Subcommittee meeting on the Supplemental Appropriation Bill. It'll be held in the House Finance Committee Room Thursday at 1:30 p.m.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, House Resources tomorrow at 8:30 is going to be the hearing on the state hatcheries, and at 8 o'clock, for those that are interested in the Arctic Research Commission, it'll be about a half-hour presentation.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to announce that Community and Regional Affairs Subcommittee on the Department's budget has been canceled for this week. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There'll be a meeting of the House members of the Joint Committee on Economic Recovery in the House Finance Committee room this Friday at 8:30 in the morning. We will be dealing, the subject of the meeting will be to consider the specific legislation and other matters recommended by each of the standing subcommittees and take action.
Any further committee announcements? General announcements, Representative Ulmer.
Thank you. The Tourism Working Group luncheon will be held today. Immediately upon adjournment, we'll be hearing from Bob Coe, the president of Alaska Division of Duty Free Shoppers, and this will be in room 102. Thank you.
Representative Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Children's Caucus schedule for today has been canceled.
Any further announcements? Representative Pettyjohn.
Mr. Speaker, there will be a minority caucus tomorrow at 10 in the court building. Also, invite all the members to attend the 60-60 party. Tomorrow is the 60th day. This party will be held at the TJ's, formerly Patty's. 6 to 8 spaghetti dinner, 8 to 11. A dance, it says here. Thank you.
Any further announcements? Special orders? Representative Cotton.
Speaker, I request the privilege of the floor to speak on decorum and debate.
Are there any objections? Proceed.
Mr. Speaker, in my attempt to interject a little bit of low humor into a fairly controversial subject today, it appears that I've possibly arraigned the motives of another member of this body, and I apologize for that.
Thank you, Representative Cotton. Representative Davidson. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request the permission of this body to speak on pothole posses and a beggar's opera.
Are there any objections? Proceed.
Mr. Speaker, pothole posses and a beggar's opera concerns safe roads for children and for all Alaskans on Kodiak Island. Mr. Speaker, I would like to ask this body to help me seek a fair and equitable distribution or allocation of federal highway fund dollars for our state. As you know, Mr. Speaker, the federal highway formula in Alaska has been waived. That's the one where in other states, a certain amount goes for primary and secondary roads, and a certain amount goes for urban and rural roads. But in our state, that formula has been waived. The time for talking is over, and we need to sharpen our knife and get out and make a new slice and rearrange the pie. The battle for minimum bucks for roads in rural Alaska has put my constituents' lives in danger. Allow me to give you some examples. We have only two main state roads in Kodiak,
and one is called Mill Bay Road. We have a problem there where there's no lighting, there's no sidewalks, and there are three schools that use that for children crossing the street to go to their respective schools. Just down the road, about a block, there's a very dangerous curve. It has potholes so big that we've actually had people threaten to form posses and go out and fill up those potholes. In fact, the joke is that we have contests about how cars are eaten up in Kodiak about potholes. Not to speak of the danger of these potholes being avoided on that blind curve and people swinging out into oncoming traffic. Another example is Kelson Bay Hill Road. Perhaps you've read about Kelson Bay Hill Road just recently in the news. That road's in such good shape that even state maintenance vehicles cannot stay on it. We nearly lost a state employee, and luckily he survived after only falling 50 feet. The road grader went down 500 feet. That road has no guardrails, it has sloughing off of shoulders, and is a very dangerous situation. And finally, Mr. Speaker, is the Chiniac Silver Beach problem. We literally had to beg to get the cones put up along the shoulder of that road so that people and drivers could be warned that the shoulder is indeed washing out into the Gulf of Alaska. If we look at the federal distribution of highway funds for District 27, Mr. Speaker, we see that in 85, in 86, and 87, and indeed projected for 88 and 89, a big goose egg. Now, Mr. Speaker, Kodiak Island is a gem. It's an island that all Alaskans can treasure. But for the common good, it makes good common sense to check the percentage of how we make or how we distribute the federal highway fund dollars. Our slice is minimal in rural Alaska, and unsafe accidents are encouraged to happen. I urge this body to share with care the manner in which we allocate federal highway funds in Alaska. Thank you.
Representative Sund.
Yeah, just briefly, Mr. Speaker, I'd ask permission of the body to speak on marine maintenance in our ferry system.
Are there any objection?
Yeah, Mr.
Go ahead.
Mr. Speaker, just to basically report that the transportation network in western Alaska is going to get Tustamina back 2 weeks earlier than previously been scheduled this year. And I'd just like to report that the reason for that given is that the printed revision of the printed schedule is due to the change of the yearly dock maintenance from Seattle to Ketchikan, and that the ferry came out of the Ketchikan shipyards 2 weeks ahead of schedule on budget, and that we're actually getting some local jobs in the local economy down there, and I think that's a good benefit. Secondly, just to note that I just want to give a little commendation to the administration and Department of Labor. Recently coming out with a new wage determination on Davis-Bacon wages for shipyard workers. It's a new classification they just created and able to shift the type of workers out of the construction field, which I think is totally separate from the shipyard workers, which is a 12-month round basis, and it's going to help us compete against those yards in California and Washington and the work on the ferry system. And just to say thanks to the administration for doing a good job.
Representative Schultz.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to the privilege of the floor to speak on a little of a controversy and local color that's going on the floor here.
Are there any objections?
Yes. I have a request here from the representative from Soldotna, and I guess there is a member of the minority that has had some problems in trying to get a piece of legislation or something that he is pretty much concerned about. And so the representative from Soldotna wrote him a poem, and he asked me if I would read that. It says, "In this day of uncertainty, one thing remains quite clear. There are things surrounding us of which we all should fear. They include bumps in the night or an ink blot analysis, but worst of all upon the list requires a urinalysis. Although it's not demanded, I want you all to know I'm the first one this session, my specimen to show. Enclosed is a personalized bottle, so let's all be reassuring. To prevent any suspicion, please fill it up with urine." And that's spelled Y-O-U-R apostrophe N. Thank you.
Any further special orders? Mr. Majority Leader?
I move and ask unanimous consent the body stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Friday.
10 a.m. Friday.